G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Live Show on your Friday evening, getting ready for round five. It is Gather Round and it is back to best 22. You're listening to the Ball Boys. Let's go!
Just done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Live Show on your Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I'm joined by Luke Rogerson, as always. How are you, mate? Enjoy your week off on holidays? You're hard worked and underpaid teacher you are?
Overworked and underpaid it is, mate.
Yeah, my bad.
Teachers all across Australia overworked and underpaid, and more holidays need to come our way.
More holidays. You don't get enough.
I can imagine that's a popular opinion out there. I'd imagine a lot of people want to see teachers get more holidays.
Yeah, so. I can't see why not. but surely with all this extra free time you've had this week, You've been able to come through with some excellent advice and some good trades for yourself and advice for the people out there to help with their fantasy teams.
No, mate, the poor advice has got nothing to do with time. I just have poor advice.
Oh, so, okay, fair.
I'm here to look good. You're here for the good advice.
No. You're good, mate. You're ranked ahead of me.
Hey, so by one point.
1 point ranked us. Ahead of me. So at the moment, you are the better coach, so we'll have to heed your advice.
You look good in my rearview mirror, mate.
Mate. Okay. All right.
Don't choke.
Open the door for
don't
you.
Don't choke on my dust.
You walked right through it. Okay.
Here we go.
Mate, we had a big game last night. Good game to watch. We had, what did we have? The Adelaide Crows lost the second on the trot.
It's a good start to gather around,
but and Geelong got the W, and not without the weekly Geelong shenanigans that we saw. The illness, just something they've got to sort something out there at Geelong, because every week it seems it's someone just seems to be getting sick on game day. It's an epidemic. Well, this time it was Tom Stewart that fell victim to a bit of illness, gastro apparently laid out.
Well, it's not only him who had the shits, because it's fantasy coaches too. Mm. These laid outs for Geelong are not doing wonders for us. I think, what's the stats? 4 out of 5 weeks now that they've had a laid out.
I think it might even be every week. Well, yeah, nearly every week. Maybe round one they didn't, but yeah.
They're all fantasy-relevant players too, or fantasy-relevant pieces that impact fantasy-relevant players. So Geelong sorted out.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, maybe this time Stewart was sick, but it's like the boy who cried wolf, you know what I mean? You just each week you keep doing it, you're just like, oh, give me a break, these guys.
I saw your tweet, you got your tinfoil hat on, it's a conspiracy, is it?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's something that...
Did you work out if he flew to Adelaide or not?
People telling me that he did. Yeah, he was doing interviews and stuff, and you know, he was over there. So that tells me that I think he is genuinely sick, but...
Somebody slips on his food.
Of course it's Geelong. Of course it's Geelong. How about my boy...
Oi.
Maxi Holmes, after I told everyone to trade him in last week, he came out and got tagged within an inch of his life to, what did he score, 67?
Yeah.
And then he comes out and redeems himself with his career-high AFL fantasy score with 133, and over the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 100.
Yeah, you're not normally one to feel bad for other people, but I think
that makes me sound horrible.
I think last week you actually genuinely felt a little bit bad recommending Holmes, but I think most people could see that the Melbourne tag was unfortunate and vindication last night.
I felt a little bit better after seeing Zorko go crap. You know, like he and Zorko basically were 10 points difference in the end. And so that made me feel a little bit better. But yeah, just watching that tag last week, I was like, where the fuck did this come from? So it's good to see that he bounced back and rewarded us. And he tackles, man. When he tackles, he's scoring big. So hopefully he can just keep avoiding some more tags. That would be nice. And someone who could have been a laid out yesterday, but wasn't, Isaac Rankin, did us all proud, especially finished the game really, really strong.
He's tough, mate. He'd play with Gastro, I reckon.
I reckon.
You just got to hope he's not the away team in the white shorts.
Yeah, yeah. Watch that and make sure that they sub someone else out before three-quarter time. So he doesn't get that rest and they're not too far in front.
There's a few things that we need to wait and see on with Rankin, but the last quarter was where he got it done. So we're looking at three-quarter time.
He looked fine.
His tog was a little bit down throughout the game, but when it was winning time, he said, no, I'm gonna be out there. And I think he did his best to put the Crows on his shoulders. Not enough people went with him, I don't think.
Yeah, I think he, hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, they had a short turnaround this time around. They'll have a bit of a longer break between this round and next round. So hopefully he is all good and won't miss any more time. Bailey Smith got it done. Not too many marks and tackles in this one, but just always, just absolutely never... Never gives in, that bloke. What did he have? 35 touches, 24 kicks, 11 marks. Kicked a goal. Only 102 because he only had the one mark.
Did you see the best play of the night, too?
Yeah, and he flipped off the crowd at the end. Copped a $1,500 fine for that.
I heard that the Crows fans might have been talking to Dangerfield, and he just said,
yeah,
off the skipper's back, which I like.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, so, yeah, and he's been interviewed about it. He's like, yeah, you know.
Stared him down with his guy liner and just went double bird.
You got a theory about this.
He's got his eyes are popping recently.
Yeah. Well, he's got to look good for Instagram, mate.
Yeah, little verdict from everyone out there. Tell me if Bailey Smith is donning the guy liner each week.
Mm.
Because his
eyes... I wouldn't be shocked, but his eyes are also... Yeah, don't know about it.
Good-looking rooster. Good like myself, actually.
Yeah, right. Sam De Koning.
Yes.
Writing was on the wall when we saw...
big Blitz.
Blitz come in and no ruckman go out, that he was going to play basically full-time halfback. Or not halfback, fullback. Mm. He did. Look, 56... It's not great, but it's not disaster. His break-even, I think, was very close to that.
Yeah, so he's just about hit his break-even, which I think is...
So he'll go back like a little bit of cash, but...
It's more than you can ask for, given the circumstance, especially if you were forced to hold with other bullets elsewhere. So yeah, I think,
held. Did you hold? Yes, you did.
In the end, he's on the bench, so...
Yeah, I looped him in terms of they've got the emergency, but I think I'm going to roll with some of the other rookies in that case.
Yeah.
But Dawson owners... Bailey Smith owners, anyone who went the VC on some of those options, probably not taking those scores. So, yeah. Again, shout out to the big boys.
Hey, we'll get there.
Dawson wasn't in the top 10. I think Bailey Smith might have been 10th.
Okay, so you're reading them well, mate. You're seeing them like beach balls.
I'm reading them well. Look, if I didn't have to take that Brayshaw score in round one, like I got a 130 VC. Like my VCs would be averaging 130 plus. So, just bloody Boydy. Fucks me over by playing that round one side. But anyway, let's talk about the rest of the teams. We've got a couple of things going on. So Finn O'Sullivan, he's back in.
He was
sick last week. He's fully sick this week.
Yeah,
he's back in the side.
Let's go.
George Wardlaw. You said George Wardlaw was out because I'll give this to you. You wrote the notes in this one, but I thought I saw him in, but then he's back out?
Well, go check it out. You got to fact check me, mate. I'm not a details man like
yourself. Yeah, no. He's a big details man over here. Yeah, he's not in. I think maybe I saw that online somewhere that he was going to be in, but no.
What would be the opposite of in?
Out. Yeah.
I got it.
So he's out. Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
Bit of a message.
Just a little mini McWalter flickeroonie.
Yeah.
See you later.
Throwing down the axe.
I don't mind it.
So he's been chopped.
It's grouse for gross.
It's... Gross for gross.
No, grouse for gross.
Oh, you hold on to this grouse thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is. I think it does bode well for him. Bodes really well, I think, for the Carlton midfielders. And basically any Carlton player there. So we'll talk about some of those guys potentially in the big boys. Big Boydy. Harry Boyd has been named to the extended bench. Now, we're going to... Actually, you know what? I'm going to skip ahead. I'm going to go rogue. And we're going to skip ahead and look at this here. He's not in yet.
It's extended. So,
he is currently an emergency. He was initially ruled out before this, but it just makes you a little bit more nervous because Keeler has been named out.
Yeah.
Jack Steele is in. Now, they play at Norwood Oval.
So, very narrow ground. We're going to anticipate more stoppages. I can't kind of quite...
Does it make it easier for a ruckman to get around then?
Yeah, this is what I couldn't quite get my head around is whether they view that as more stoppages, maybe requiring a second ruckman just to deal with some of that physicality. But then, overall, there's going to be less running. You're going to cover less distance, so you're going to be fresher. So, I don't know if this is maybe just like a little bit of an insurance policy and we're not actually going to see it. But you're right, it makes us more nervous, especially because we're best 22 now. So there's not just these free loops getting around like we've had over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the other thing, so in that Sunday squad, you do have Hasty, Max Hall and Garcia still in the side. So I guess that's good from a cash gen point of view, but you know, especially someone like Hasty, you know, more than likely going to be the sub again. And then Boydie as that emergency. So Tim English, for example, plays very early. I know the North Kangaroos are playing the first game on Saturday. So Sherry's going to be playing early. When does Max play? Max plays on the Saturday night. So if you're going to do a little bit of loop action through your ruck line, you're going to have to make that call before Sunday. So you're going to be going into it a little bit blind whether or not Boyd is a late in or not. That makes me nervous. What do we do about this situation? I think if you can avoid using the ruck line as your loop option, I would explore that.
Well, good coaches that have Lawler.
Good coaches that have Lawler,
that
right.
That are a point ahead of bad coaches that don't.
So he's might, also out, is the, some of the names.
Might be able to use him as a little bit of loop. So
he'd be great this week.
Richmond don't play until the first game Sunday as well. So you're going to get a look at some of your VC options. And yes. Just make sure that you look around and make sure that you know who else is playing, because if you're going to have to do some switcheroony, you don't want to be caught by surprise, but he could certainly be an option. Camporeale, not so much an option, because I think we'd all agree that he probably plays, unless you were anticipating a good score from a Dawson last night. He obviously plays before a lot of the other good options. So maybe some people with some options there. If you've got Boyd, I think...
Is there? Yeah it's a really tough one because it would be disaster.
I don't think you're reshuffling.
If he comes in late in. No, I don't think you're reshuffling to get a red dot in.
No.
I'm more thinking, do you. If Boyd is your only access to a loop, do you forget the VC and just go straight whack the C on someone?
Well, you've. We'll get to the big boys in a second, but you've kind of flip-flopped a little bit on the order of the one and two. Yeah. So that tells me that you don't think there's too much separating them. So I think that you could still put a VC on. Just see how that plays out. Hope for the best.
The thing is as well, though, some of the good matchups, like that Richmond-Dockers matchups, and spoiler, there's going to be some players in that in the top five. That will be starting before you know the final changes for the St. Kilda and Giants game. And there's not too many captain options in the Saints-Giants games or the Port-Hawthorne games. So, you really, if there is a late in, you're really up the creek.
You could be
at
in
that
strife.
Point. Yeah, so...
In strife. The Wang went 120 plus at Norwood last year. I know it was against it was against the Tigers. And you would anticipate less space is less good for a player like Wang.
The other thing about that as well is if your ruck's on the bench, you're not going to get that ruck score.
Mm.
So,
yeah,
like the English, the Sherry, the max score, and that's now longer going to be
fraught with danger. Before we get too deep in this, a couple of other bits and pieces from team reactions. Obviously, Nod's out. We knew that earlier in the week. But Hayden Young, our boy, the flowing.
Months.
The flowing top knot.
So we recorded a podcast for the Patreons doing the Q&A, but we haven't recorded something for the rest of the public out there detailing our reactions. But this sucks, Luke. This really fucking sucks.
We love Hayden Young.
Hayden Young? What'd you say?
I said Hayden Young's back.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Will Day's out.
Oh, you're all about yourself,
oh,
mate.
Oh, my bad. I'll skip ahead to the last dot point.
You're not even listening to what I'm saying.
No, I'm not.
I'm even looking at you.
No, but Hayden Young is back.
Yeah, we love Hayden Young.
Well, okay. Hayden Young, is that good or bad for Caleb Sarong and Brayshaw?
I think we saw enough sample size last year to suggest that it's not going to knock him about too much. Like, Brayshaw finished the year really well. Obviously, I think Sarong started the year better than he finished last year, but...
My little theory here is that...
Okay, please.
Is that it could be really good for a player like Brayshaw. He loves those little 45 kicks. I think maybe one of the issues is that players can't actually execute or are not confident enough to kick it to him.
Do you think Hayden Young's
Hayden Young is. He'll back himself in and he'll hit that ball. So just one more player out there that's confident enough to make that little inside kick. So I reckon that might give you a couple marks extra on Brayshaw.
I'll get on board. Mate, do you really want to talk about Will Day? Or
yeah, I want to get this off my chest.
Okay.
Again. Look, it sucks. I think the logic was there to hold him. I feel bad because I was championing that strategy. And obviously, with hindsight now, it was the wrong way to go. We all should have traded him. You know, a couple of weeks before the tag or the supposed tag game was coming. But I think the logic was there. This is just terrible timing. Like, even if he just did it a week before, you wouldn't have held him through his bye. You know, like, I held him last week. I had a premium. I had 850,000 on my bench last week that I could have used. So it sucks. It's bad timing, but I don't think it's necessarily a poor reflection on the rationale to hold him.
You weren't alone. Other good coaches did the same, I think, and I'm going to give this guy a shout-out, but I'm pretty sure that Minimunk, who's lurking around in the comments, yep. I think he held Will Day as well.
I think so he did. You I weren't think alone there. DT Lemon held him as well. So, yeah. Few guys
the logic is there. Speaking of... Minimunk, I think we need to get him on the payroll because he's doing God's work answering questions in the comments. We will get to as many questions as we can.
Yep, send your questions in, guys.
We'll see how much time we have after Mitch goes through his sob story, but we will get some questions. But thank you to Minimunk for answering some there as well.
No, that's a sob story. That's all I wanted to say is that it sucks. It's bad luck, but I think the logic was there to hold him, but you just got to deal with it. Now, he has to go because he is pretty much out for the season, almost. At least out for the most of the fantasy season now. So... any other takeaways from the 5 o'clock Sunday teams? Let's have a little look-see here. I think it was just the Saints that I was really interested in. Xavier Lindsay, that's a Saturday. Okay. Nothing else. Hayden Young is confirmed in. Sean Darcy
back
is in.
Okay.
Which did affect the big boys. There was a Nankervis in the top five. He's no longer there.
Well, Luke Jackson owners were helped by the fact that he got injured in the... is Luke Jackson out? Confirmed?
Luke Jackson's out, yeah. He's out injured. Yeah, I think he's out for the next couple of weeks.
That kind of coincided reasonably well. You didn't have to make
so a Sean Darcy's in, but not Liam Reedy. Liam Reedy is an emergency. You're going to have Sean Darcy hold down the ruck line there, which is interesting because I think they mentioned before that he was unlikely to play. But James Warple back in. So, not chopped, but he's in. And Logan Evans has been omitted for the Port Adelaide Power. So,
interesting
one there. But our boy Murray Erasmus has held his spot with Tom Cochran and Travis Boak coming back into the side. And Dusty Byrne-Jones also suspended. So, nothing too major there. The rest is pretty much unscathed. So, just a watch on that St. Kilda bench, which seems to be the watch every week when it comes to their rookies and cash cows.
Brilliant. Mate, are you ready to talk to me about some large gentlemen?
Let's do it. Woo! Let's go round five. Am I doing the timing right? Doing the timing okay?
Yeah, you got it. Gather around, big boys.
I feel like this is a juicy round for targets. I think that there's a good 7 or 8 really good options. We're going to give you guys the top 5 in a moment, but if you want the full top 10, which I do announce on Thursday afternoon before the Thursday night game, you can head over to patreon.com/ballboys to get the extended list of all the options, as well as I'll give you my top 10 and then a few honorable mentions, and I'll sort of detail the reason why I'm putting these guys where they are, sort of a bit about the opponents they're versing and a bit of a predicted range on what I think they can score as well. So patreon.com/ballboys. But number one, I've got a lot of boys, but this is my guy from this year. Actually, two of my guys are the top two here. So Tom DeConing comes in at number one on the big boys this year. I have used him a couple of times already as a VC this season. He's done me proud. And he comes up against the easiest matchups for Ruckman in the competition. And he's already going 112. Put a slightly down score last week at an 82, I want to say. But that was a much tougher matchup. So I think he bounces right back. And feasts on the Eagles.
Wish he was playing at Norwood. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, he is playing on Adelaide Oval.
I think it'll be good wherever. But
the good thing about the Eagles is they give up, I think, the second most disposals of any club, or second or third most disposals off the top of my head. And they also give up the most amount of hitouts to Ruckman. So when TDK is getting his disposals, that's when he's at his best. And the hitouts just provide that really high level of safety in terms of a really good floor. And Carlton have still got to put the foot down. They haven't won a game yet.
Yeah.
So they can't afford to be cruising and coasting. So they'll be going full strap. Number two, and this is that little switcheroo that happened. I just yesterday changed my mind a little bit. This guy was at number one, but I pushed him down to number two. That is Andrew Brayshaw against the Tigers. Tigers still the best matchup in fantasy footy, bar none. Zorko didn't get it done last week, but there was a lot of scoring still around. So McCluggage went 140 plus. Dunkley, I think, went 118. Neil went 115. Will Ashcroft turned up as well. So all the midfields went big. Brayshaw, I think, has the chance to do that, and hopefully he can get his marks.
Yeah, even though Frio's marks are down, you'd have to imagine that against Richmond, that's just going to be an absolute buffet for him.
Plays at the Barossa. I think this is a new...
Hopefully he's not on the Wines pre-game.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case. But I think... I don't know if we've got too much data on the Barossa Oval. So I was trying to do a little bit of research. From what I can tell, it's a wide-ish ground. You know, a bit more open. So if you're at Gather Round Adelaide, let us know. Is it windy down there at the moment? Do you know if it's going to be windy on Sunday? But I think he'll go good regardless. Should have a bit of a ceiling score. Number three, Harry Sheezel. Now, if I could guarantee you that Harry Sheezel was going to stay on halfback, which he played last week, if he was going to stay at halfback, he would potentially be number one on the big boys. Little bit of doubt on that role moves him down to number three because halfbacks, Gold Coast give up a shit ton to halfbacks. They do all right for midfielders as well, but it's even better for halfbacks. And obviously Harry Sheezel himself is just an absolute gun of halfback. So he's a number three.
Before you get to four, mate, yeah, I think we've got to pause the big boys because Sir Hales jumped in with a super chat and simply to wish us all a good weekend. So on vacation in South Africa.
Nice vacation.
All we can think about is fantasy. So if I was in South Africa, I'd be parking the team. You'd be on assistant coach duties. But wishes everyone good luck for the weekend. So what a legend.
Thank you, mate. That's very, very kind of you. And I hope you enjoy your South African holiday, mate. It sounds... Yeah. Probably where I'd rather be than little old Brisbane here, mate.
Yeah. But I appreciate that very much so.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Number four, I've got Zach Merritt coming in against Melbourne. I'm predicting they don't persist with that tag that they did last week.
Yeah.
But a small flag there. But this is a great matchup for Merritt, who I think is one of the safest players going around. And at number five, I've got Caleb Sarong, Brayshaw's teammate, in the same matchup. Doesn't rely as much on the marks. Collected like 37 touches or something last week. I think his ceiling is maybe a little bit less than Brayshaw, but his floor is basically as high as anyone. So
I think from memory, Sarong had a massive game at least once against Richmond last year. I don't know if they played him twice.
But I think he had like a 120 or something like that. So, I think that's I like a lot of those top fives. There's a few guys in the next bracket as well that I also like. But I think especially those top three, hard to go wrong with any of those guys. And three fairly high players, especially Brayshaw, a lot of people trading in this week. So, yeah, a few options.
Oh, beautiful, mate. Absolutely
so
beautiful.
That is it. I'm going to be VCing, or maybe shucking the C straight on Tom De Koning. I'll have to see how nervous I feel about the Harry Boyd thing.
Yeah, well, like I said, you wouldn't be in that position if you had Lawler, mate, but that's just reserved
just a
for
bad
the
coach.
Reserved for the good coaches. You want to do some spicy stuff?
Yeah.
Let's
spicy
go.
Takes.
Oh, no. You turn my light off as well.
Can't forget your props, mate.
You give me the reach around and turn my light off. What's going on?
Just sneaky reach around on air.
Can I have both of those? Thanks,
you dual wheel.
Yeah, you went first last week, so I'm going to go first this week. My spicy take, and make sure that you guys get yours in the comments as well. See what everyone's predicting.
Remember,
for this
takes, they can be optimistic. They can be a bit of hopeful takes.
They can even be unrelated to footy. We don't care.
Yeah.
Spicy as they come. Now, if you had a look at the thumbnail for the live show, you might have seen that I was doing a little bit of cosplay as Riley Bice.
You wish your mo was as good as his.
I wish my hair was as erect. I wish my mo was as luscious. I wish I was Riley Bice. And
Bice
is very nice. And my spicy take is that he's going to turn up tonight.
They were talking about the broadcast last night. Do you tag him? Which I thought was crazy.
I think maybe we're putting the cart before the horse in
that
one.
Yeah, third game.
But mate, he looked good last week. And I don't even mean like, oh, he's a rookie and he scored well. Like he looked good.
Yeah.
Some of the kicks he was biting off, there was one where he was running kind of perpendicular to the goals and just a little bit of how's your father around the corner, sideways action, boots inside, hit a target, no dramas.
How's your father? All
Bob's
right.
your uncle. All of the father? Above.
Yeah, everyone, all the family. I like that.
What do you reckon? He's spicy?
That's pretty spicy. Not many back-to-back tons from rookies.
I just hope he doesn't steal too many points off Matt Roberts.
I think mine's on the Perry Perry scale. This is extra hot.
This will
extra
not happen.
Spicy. This will happen. Joel Frazier.
Oh, no.
He is going to remember how to football, And he's going to give us one of those tons that he put up in round one that all the people who started him got to enjoy. And us idiots who traded him in after round one are still waiting for. He's going to give it to us this weekend playing on Norwood Oval. Okay. So it's a high scoring ground.
Right.
He's going to give us one of those nice juicy tons, and those people who are forced to hold with the injuries are going to get rewarded. That's the last spicy take.
Lee, a couple of spicy takes in the comments. Someone's predicted a Sherry a laid out. We like.
No, we don't wish injuries upon anyone, Luke, but we want him to manage the injury well. He's already injured. Yep. That's what we just want him to look after himself, right?
Yeah. Spicy take. more of an economic spicy take. Tariffs aren't a thing by the end of the year.
They seem to be.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this? A movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
Coming and going, hey, all the time.
Get in at the bottom of the market.
Yeah, buy the dip. Buy the dip. Hey, just like fantasy, you know? Yeah, underpriced.
Hey, mate.
Value.
We'll be millionaires by the end of the year.
All right. We're going to have Newcomb scores an 85 this week, but then goes on to average 120 over the next five rounds. This is a spicy take from...
Well, this is the Hawthorn great run that you were holding Will Day for. It's Port Adelaide.
So the 85, exactly, yeah, and 120. Yeah, so, no, absolutely, yeah.
Hey, it could happen. It could certainly happen.
All right, drop in any questions you guys have for this round or anything else you want to have a chat about. Matt's talking about the Bergman going 130. He's been good. And you should tell everyone you're welcome, right?
The iceberg.
Mate, the iceberg. Your boy.
Ice in my veins. Ice cold takes.
Yeah, not a spice take. Ice cold take.
Hey, I wasn't looking confident on this one first couple of weeks, but he's come good. So
he has come good, and now Bergman's out. One more defender, just you know, out of the way.
Evans.
What did I say? Yeah, Bergman's still in.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. All right. Let's get some questions here, Luke. Drop some questions in the comments below, guys. We'll get to as many as we can. If you drop a super chat, we'll get to those ones as a priority. But let's see how we go. All right, what have we got?
Beautiful. Okay, James got a question here. So, already have Bice. Beautiful. Locked on nod to Ashcroft. Which trade is a better second trade? Would you do Callaghan to Taranto, or would you do Fraser Crane via DPP to Marich or any Rooks?
What's the go with Callaghan? Because he was someone I never really believed in until one week I felt horrible. a little bit weak and sort of suggested him as a potential trade option. Since then, he's gone crap.
The thing that we kind of see with Callaghan and have somewhat anticipated is that he doesn't have the tackle and mark numbers that provide players with that really high floor that we typically like. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing. If he's
a bit of a Horn Francis, I reckon. Like just...
There's a little bit
free
of
kicks and
there's a little bit of that as well, but I think that it's the issue is that he's not going to sort of average the four marks, four tackles kind of thing, and then I think that's going to be where you see that those floor scores, unfortunately. So in James's particular instance, would you do Callaghan to I forgot who James mentioned here, Callaghan to Taranto, or would you get rid of Fraser and go down to a Marich?
Look, I know my spice takes are that. Frazier's going to turn up this week.
It's spicy.
It's spicy for a reason because far-fetched. That guy sucks. I think I'd be getting rid of Frazier.
All right. Tony says, Walsh or Green for Nod? I'm pretty clear cut on this one, and for me it's Green. Walsh, obviously, we saw the big score from last weekend, but if you go back and have a look, I think I had a stat on Wednesday night where over the last 13 games or something, Walsh has only turned up maybe three times, including the weekend. And then you go back and look at 13 games before that, and there was only twice that he dropped under a ton. Yeah. So it kind of coincided with Carlton starting to play poorly at the end of last year. So it's kind of Sam Walsh is a bet on whether you think Carlton's going to get their shit together. And the way it's looking at the moment, I can't back it, despite them having the Eagles this week.
Yeah, they've got the Eagles, then they've got North. So they've got two couple games. But after that, they go Geelong, Adelaide, St Kilda, Sydney Giants. Like, I'm thinking there's a chance he gets tagged from Geelong.
Yeah.
St Kilda, Windhager could go to him. James Jordan the week after. Bedford the week after that. He could have four tags in five rounds.
Yeah.
From round 7 to his bye in round 12.
So you go Green as well?
I'm probably going Tom Green. I'll just have a bit more confidence in the team and just him as a safer bet.
Okay, pig mentality has got a spicy take, but we'll use it as an opportunity to discuss this player. Josh Ward will average 90 for the next 6 weeks and make big money. So two things here. Obviously, Will Day being out, we're anticipating Ward more midfield time and a good run coming up. Can you get behind pig mentality spicy take? Do you think it's something that could happen?
It could happen. Absolutely, definitely could happen. It's not a pick I would jump on this week.
Yeah.
It would be a next week play if you're going to go there. I'd want to see good CBA numbers.
And him playing.
And if he can score like 80s this week against Port Adelaide, then I would have a higher level of confidence to trade in him for that 5-game run against Geelong, West Coast, Richmond, Melbourne, and the Gold Coast Suns. But not a this week play. I think there's too much risk.
Okay, Deathmator says, who gets the Windy tag this week? So they play GWS from memory. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
At Norwood. So is it Green that gets the tag? Is it Callahan that gets the tag? Could they tag Lockie Whitfield?
They could. I don't know if they will, but they could.
Windhager hasn't tagged a halfback before. Not that I can recall.
I don't think he has.
Not that I can recall.
I'm going to say that he does try to go to Tom Green, but then they switch it. Tom Green, I think, is the harder tag option. Callahan, I think you can actually have a bit more influence on him.
Yeah.
Windhager's a running machine, but he's not built like Tom Green. So,
you don't reckon? Oh, built physically.
Yeah, like physically.
Stature. I thought you meant... In the just quality field.
Yeah. Just built different. But, so, I think it makes more sense to go Callahan. But I'm not sure if... I'm just saying that because that was the last tag from the Hawthorn matchup. What do you think?
Yeah. So these are tough ones because sometimes it can depend on just how that opposite... Or how St Kilda's coach, in this case, Ross Lyon, views GWS and... Who he views is obviously important to their structure and ball movement. I'd say based on the form at the start of the year, I'd say Callahan's been like more outwardly damaging. But so then some coaches will rate what Tom Green does higher than Callahan because he's at the source, he's winning it, he's taking the ball from inside to out.
So far they've tagged Holmes. They tagged Taranto, weirdly enough, don't know why. And then last week, did they tag Rosie?
Yeah. Definitely early days. I don't know if they let it off. I didn't watch that game, but Rosie started scoring a little bit better as it went on.
So does that tell you anything in terms of like the type of player that those guys are and who's going to go to? Look, I would say Holmes and Rosie are definitely more your Callahan types.
Yes, correct. Taranto, that's beyond me why they tagged him.
I mean, maybe there's just no other option really there. So yeah,
it could be.
Probably why.
Let's keep moving because we've got a couple more super chats. Sam had a super chat there, but...
Retracted.
Took that message back. So if you want to pop it back in there, Sam, we can answer your question for sure.
But thank you, Sam, anyway, for the super chat.
We definitely appreciate that. And we'll move down to the next super chat here. So One Shot Kid says, thoughts on Frazier down to a rook at D8? I'll have two of Bice, Trainer, and Reed on the field. Okay, who would be the best rookie to bring in? So Frazier down to a rookie, giving two rookies on field in defense.
Yeah, look, I don't mind it. I think the rookies in defense are probably some of our better rooks at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely an option. I'll be doing something similar, except I'll be holding Frazier, so I'll be having two rookies and Frazier. Who would you feel? I think you got to have Bice on field.
Yeah, I'm going to feel Bice. Well, my spicy takes
he's going 100.
He's going huge.
Who would you go out of Reed or Trainer?
Reed's got a better matchup, in my opinion, this week. So I think I'm going to go with that.
He's had two scores over 60.
Yep. Trainer's had two.
Trainer's had three.
So Trainer's had what?
He's only had one poor game, and it was a 33 against Port Adelaide. The rest have been 62, 78, 74. Reed has only had one score over 80. It was an 83 against Port.
It's a four-game sample size, which to me is not enough really to look at those scores and say, hey, this is what I'm confident is going to happen. So if I go with the matchup, I feel like at least if it goes wrong, I can say, hey, well...
I think most people are going to go with Reed. So if you want to...
That's the way I read it.
If you want to play it safe, I think he's the way to go.
That's the way I read it anyway.
Nice.
I'll say it again.
read it. I get it. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Probably expecting a standing O. Thank you for that super chat, One Shot Kid. Appreciate it. Jared's also snuck in with a super chat as well. Says, selling nod and can only afford Taranto, Petrarca, Neil, or Ash. I'm assuming Ashcroft, I would imagine. Already have Marich and Bice. Thanks, lads. Jared, This is pretty much the exact situation I'm in and kind of obsessing over as well. I think in this situation, I think that means you can also afford Chera.
Yes, he's someone else you're also looking at.
So at the moment, as it stands, my team, I'm in this exact situation and I've got a nod to Chera. I don't know how good I feel about it because I can see, obviously, Taranto's got pedigree, Petrarca's got pedigree. I think Chera maybe has the instant matchup. I don't like the low time on ground, but I think the instant matchup can hopefully work for me, especially like Mitch said, Carlton need to absolutely annihilate West Coast this week. It's not just like they're going to be cruising. And then I have this feeling that with Petrarca, I just at least want to see 1 week. I know he's a good player. I'm not disputing that, but I want to see 1 week of good. And I think this week gives him the matchup to do that. But Chera's also got a slightly lower break even than both those guys as well. So I just feel like maybe I'm heading in the right direction. Maybe I'm poorly guided there, but that's where I'm at, Jared. So hopefully that kind of
helps. What it's worth, I think I would have Taranto at the top of that list. But I know he hasn't done awesome so far this year. I just think that the matchups have been tougher for them and they definitely get better for the Tigers. And I still think he can be a 100-plus guy. And I just think he's a bit closer than someone like a Chera. And I think they both have equal value.
Sam snuck back in with a super chat. Appreciate that, Sam. It says, who to bring in? Brayshaw with 266K left over, or are you going Merritt with 160 left over, Mitch?
So sometimes you go, okay, yeah, I'm going to get the guy who's more expensive because he's a better player. But if you subscribe to the big boys, then I think Brayshaw is going to go bigger than Merritt this week. Plus, you're going to have an extra 100K left in the bank. So why wouldn't you go that option? Unless you disagree with me and you think Merritt's going to be bigger this week. But I think even the fact that it's a conversation, even the fact that it's close, this is where I take that 100K and try and imagine that I'm going to use that better next week.
Yeah, try and
forecast. To help my team make a better trade with next week's trade. I'd hate to sort of, pay for a Merritt who goes less than a Brayshaw, have less money and fall short of my ideal trade next week because I went chasing an expensive player.
Yeah, I think that feels like good advice when I'm kind of tossing up between those types of decisions and you kind of try and forecast. It's fraught with danger forecasting 3-4 weeks ahead, but even just the next week, I think, is wise in that position. Thank you for that, Sam. Jason also got a super chat in. Appreciate it, Jason. Says, can I field Reed over Frazier? As I had to trade Will Day and Nod for Bison Brayshaw. So hit by bullets for Jason.
This is a hard question.
This is your conundrum, isn't it?
I could have the option. I could choose to go Trainer and Reed and put Frazier and Sam De Koning on my bench. Which sounds crazy because you've got two 700K guys there and you're putting two 400K guys on your field. Frazier has a better role, yes?
Does he?
He's not a key defender. He's not a tall defender. He at least is getting some CBAs. He's gone 60-plus three times, including a ton in there. He's had the one score below 40. I know it's the most recent example.
If Melbourne decide to play like they did last week, Jesus. Wait, it's not... Sorry, I got my wires crossed there.
Yeah, Melbourne for Essendon. Yeah, so
yeah,
yeah. Okay, you're saying no, Reed's case. Reed.
Yeah,
they play in Norwood against Brisbane. For me, and the way I'm seeing it, I'm going to back in the slightly more experienced player with what I see as a slightly better role, and I'm going to go Frazier. But I am not very confident in that at all. Maybe that's me just leaning on the fact that he is more expensive. I don't know. But at least he's tunned up at some point this year, which gives me a little bit of hope.
All right, let's get through a few more questions. So Abhinav says, am I going Brayshaw this week for that ceiling and a semi-decent run? Or am I going Ashcroft, who also has a good run, cheaper and with a lower break evens? What are your thoughts on Will Ashcroft, I guess?
The thing that concerns me is the role and the CBAs. They're not up there. He's still hovering around that 50 to 60% CBAs, which is kind of what he was doing last year. I think he's going to be better. Obviously, he's a year further back from the ACL comeback. But I don't think he can be that 100-scoring guy. And in our midfield, that's what we want, because then it's sort of you're taking too much of a hit to the top guys, I think, in that situation. So for me, I would go up a little bit higher personally. I don't think he can be the 100 plus. If you do think he can be there, then maybe I'd look that way. I just personally don't.
Scott says, Mitch, in a word, Green or Brayshaw?
So this is, it's kind of funny because I've got Brayshaw on one of my big boys, but I'm going to say Green because, sorry, I've got Brayshaw at two of my big boys. Because Green, I just trust him a little bit more. There's a small concern on the role outside of maybe these next two games for the Fremantle Dockers. I think Green is just a bit more solid in what he's going to be doing. No change in his role, no change in the game style from the Giants. I think if I had to choose between the two of them, I'd go Green, but it's close.
The second part of the question is, Luke, what's for dinner?
Ooh. You got something in the slow cooker, huh?
Pulled pork.
Hey.
Bit of pulled pork. Get the sauce on there. Oh, nice. I don't know if we're doing rolls or wraps, but being the great bloke that I am, I've even invited this fella, over for dinner too. Yeah, so okay. Pulled pork for both of us tonight.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You're in hot water, mate, because Jason has said he's going Frazier based on your advice. So, Jason, if it doesn't work out, hey, yeah,
come and hunt me down.
At least you can point fingers.
No, he's turning up. I told you. He's turning up. He's going to be. He's going to remember how to football.
Of course he is. Petrarca, DPP, is he getting it? Asked Nicholas.
I think it's very likely.
Does that make him a more attractive option in any way than Taranto, Chera, these guys that are kind of around that price, Ashcroft?
I don't think he's as much value as those players. I think he's more likely than those guys to be just a 90 guy. With that said, a 90 guy in our forward line is pretty much a top six. So I see him more as like paying up for a merit, like that kind of option, because merit is, he's priced expensively, but there's a world he does that, but he's a guaranteed top eight. So the value versus certainty for them to be best in their line is sort of how I see them. But I don't think he's as value as those other guys. I don't think he's going to average 10 more points than where he's priced at, which I think is still 89 or 90.
Jonathan wants our thoughts on Lachie Neal. I'll take the lead on this one. Mm. Lachie Neal, I think there's an argument to say that Lachie Neal could average the most out of kind of any of these guys that we're talking about for the next 2 weeks. But then if you look 3 weeks ahead and you look at St Kilda, I think it's almost a certainty to be a blanket from Windhager, and that could really put you off, I think. I think you get 2 good weeks and then you go into a, you know, Lachie Neal classic 40 when he's being tagged, which Lachie Neal sometimes drops. I think that puts you off a little bit. So,
I mean, he has put up a 37 so far this year.
Yeah. So that's put me off because I certainly had a look at that earlier in the week. And if he was coming into 5-6 games where I thought that maybe there was no tag, then there's a chance that I would have gone there.
So the guys you're bringing in now, you want to hold basically to their bye.
Yeah.
And before his bye, which is round 16, the last bye, he does come up against St Kilda, the Windhager tag, potentially something like a Sparrow tag from Melbourne, maybe. You've got Hawthorn, you know, Finn McGuinness or Connor Nash. Even Essendon could throw someone on him. You've also got the Giants, who will definitely throw Bedford his way, and Geelong, who have already tagged in with Mark O'Connor. So potentially 5 tags in his next 10 games. To me, just, yeah, it means that I don't think he's an option.
Jai snuck in with a super chat. Before we get to Jai's question, I just saw a name in there that we haven't given much airtime to. It's Caleb Sarong. So if you can't get to Brayshaw, you're happy with Sarong this week?
I am happy with Sarong. What do you think he can average is my question to you? Because he's done, last year he's coming off a 103 season. The year before he was a 108 guy. Where do you see him from this point on averaging for the rest of the season?
I think with the addition of Hayden Young to the Freo midfield last year, and he started to feel comfortable in there over the last half of the season, I think that kind of put a little bit of a dent in Sarong's ceiling scores that we saw early in the year. And I think, which surprised me, but I think what's actually happened there is Hayden Young's...
He's good.
He's hard as a cat's head. And we didn't expect that. We expected a guy with a top knot to be flowing on the outside. But that guy loves to tackle. That guy loves to get inside pills. So I think it just maybe knocked the ceiling off Sarong. That's not to say that I don't think he's a good pick. Especially this week coming into Richmond, I think you can ride a couple of good matchups.
Yeah, I still see him as a guy with a fairly high floor. Like, he's not a guy that drops 70s or 80s very often. Like, he's usually a 90, 100 sort of a guy, and you can get the occasional pop score. So last year when he did, you were right before when you said he had a big score against Richmond. He scored 141 against them last year. So, and he had 38 touches, which and 8 marks and 5 tackles. So that's a big game.
The thing, I did some digging on Sarong and Brayshaw, and Fremantle's mark numbers are down this year thus far. The thing about Sarong's scoring compared to Brayshaw's scoring is he doesn't rely on the marks as much. So I think Sarong kind of last year, off the top of my head, averaged somewhere like 2.5 marks, and he averages kind of 4.5 tackles, again, off the top of my head. But he's maintained those tackle numbers, and his mark numbers have just dropped slightly, whereas for Brayshaw, he gets around giving you 5-6 marks a game, and his mark numbers have dropped drastically. So I think, like Mitch said, that at least gives you the high floor. Which is what you're after for a guy that you want to keep at least to the buys.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think at worst you're going to get what he's priced at.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of upside there, and you've got the sugar hit for this week. So I like him as a target.
Okay, Jai's got a couple of options for us, and we appreciate the super chat, Jai. Sanders and Taylor to Horny Boy and the Wang. Horny Boy and the Wang.
Oh,
that's a combo.
That's a combo
I like.
Right there.
That is a combo I like. So I'm going to stop reading the question right there because I'm locked in. I'm biased.
You get a bit hot under the collar there, mate.
I am. The non-existent collar. Or are we going Taylor to Brayshaw and some other defender, 940 or less? So would you bring in Horny
Tom or Stewart was that option, but obviously he's not. I would have said that before he was laid out last night. Wang and Horn Francis. So Horn Francis as a trade-in option.
Well, to me, this is a little bit interesting because you're trading in St Kilda, the Wang against not really the most fruitful matchup on not really what we'd expect to be the most fruitful ground, despite him doing it last year at Norwood.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also then trading in Horn Francis against Hawthorne, which we also know is maybe not the most fruitful. So even though they're potentially good trade-ins, does it kind of go against the timing of the trade-ins that you normally like to do?
Yeah. Yeah, it does a little bit. I think Horn Francis, it depends on what you think you can be. Like, he was priced at 90. He hasn't really shown anything so far this year to say that he's going to be better than last year. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So, if he came into the year averaging 90, Butters is now back. He is priced at, like, an 86. So, there's a little bit of meat on the bone there. Wang's priced at 103 or something like that. I don't know if there's much meat on the bone there. So you may be getting like a few points of value here and there. Brayshaw, you definitely got a bit more value, but a defender 840K or less.
I think that's the trouble, isn't it?
It strikes me as a bit of a halfway house. So I think I'm leaning the first two. You're getting two players out that I think are good trade outs and potentially two keepers in those positions. So despite there not being heaps of value, I think I'd probably go there and hope for the higher end of the projections. You know, maybe Horn Francis is a 95 guy, then that's a good trade. Like, if he goes 95 from here or even like 100, that's possible. That could be a really winning trade at this point.
Okay, we'll get a couple more in. Sam says, a non-Sheasel owner with the opportunity to trade him in. Would you trade him in? Do you like that potential defensive role enough to trade him in?
If I could guarantee it, he actually could present value.
Wow.
He's priced at 112. If he stayed a half back for the whole season, he'd be a 120 guy.
Oh, my. I hope so.
I don't see that happening. Like, North got pumped last week, and it was very disappointing. You could tell, like, the whole team was a bit rattled, and they thought they were a bit further along than they were. And, you know, Wardlaw's not back this week.
When Wardlaw does come back, I can see a world where it happens, because it sounds weird to say, but North, I'm not going to say an embarrassment of riches, but I think North Melbourne have a lot of players that they see as playing in their midfield.
They do have a lot of guys.
LDU's just signed a massive contract. He's number one in there. They seem to really be keen on Jai Simpkin there. Powell, they seem to be keen on. Wardlaw, we know that's the only position he can play.
Yeah.
So are you going to run a 5-man midfield? There's not too many teams in the comp that run
how
it.
How much is he going to do off half forward?
Yeah, so there's not many teams in the comp that genuinely run a 5-man midfield where everyone gets their share. So, I can see a scenario when Wardlaw comes back where they go, hey, Sheasel could be the most damaging halfback in the game.
I think you could. I think you could. I like him better than a Zorka or a Whitfield. I'll say that.
Okay.
I still think I'd lean somewhere a little bit cheaper. But there's a world where it works. There is a world where it works.
Okay. Tim, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. Doesn't have a question associated with it, but we always appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Very, very kind of you.
Thank you. Okay, last question. What do you think?
More. Yeah, one more.
So Sam says, who do I field out of Warner, Hall, or Garcia? Well, you're the genius here, mate.
Yeah, I think I have this very question this week. And right now, I'm on Max Hall. I think Jack Steele coming back in really dents my confidence with Garcia, low tog. Max Hall was going good until last week. He even was good in the first quarter and a bit, and then really slowed down. Yeah. Port Adelaide. So I'm going to back him in. He's had three scores over 50, two 80s. One of them was in a thumping against Richmond. One of them was a thumping against Adelaide. So that fills me with a little bit of confidence that he can do it in both scenarios where the team's going well and going poorly. So
I actually think
I'm going with him.
I think a narrow ground contested game, I think, might actually help him this week as well. I think he seems like a bit of a go-getter, and he's not going to be afraid to...
is that where they play?
Get in.
GWS St Kilda.
Well, I think we'll let everyone go have a fiddle with their teams and go watch the big Bice Is Nice tonight.
Yeah, and if you're over at Adelaide, enjoy the scenes around for us. Maybe we'll get there next year. Pretty sure we said this time last year, but have a good round, guys. Hopefully your captains go big. Make sure you stay across the news with all those late ins. Make sure you check your loopholes and all that sort of good stuff. And we'll see you guys again for the round review on Monday's podcast. Until then, have a good one. Bye, guys. Bye.